first scripture reading this morning, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah is found on page 897. Towards the end of the Old Testament there, Jonah chapter 2, here we find Jonah's prayer. As our children will remember, Jonah was called to go to the Ninevites to preach the word, the need for repentance, to turn their lives away from sin and rebellion. Jonah ran away. Instead of choosing to go the opposite direction, God caused this storm to arise on the sea. The sailors threw Jonah over the side of the boat, and God caused, provided a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And inside, Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. And here we start our reading in Jonah chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. The seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And that's as far as we're reading from the prophet Jonah. Before we read our text from Matthew, let's turn again in our Trinity Psalter hymnals to 367. 367. And we are going to stand together and sing "Up from the Grave He Arose." 367, "Up from the Grave He Arose." Let's stand together and sing 367.
Thank you.
Praise God. Christ arose. Let's turn together in our Bibles now for our reading and text from Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we are going to be reading about the sign of Jonah. Here Jesus gives to the skeptic convincing proof that he is who he said he is. This is Matthew chapter 12. We will be reading from verses 38 through 42. But the text is found particularly in verse 40. Matthew chapter 12, that's found on page 945 in our Black Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 12, we'll start at verse 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here." And that's as far as reading in God's word. May he add his blessing and increase upon it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today on this day, the resurrection day, we start with a question, and the question is this: how do we know that Jesus is who he says he is? How do we know that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one who the prophecies had foretold? How do we know that Jesus really is unique and that he is really the Savior of the world, just as he said? Well, answering this question as to who do you say Jesus is, answering that question really gets to the heart of the Christian faith. In fact, how you answer this question, who is this man, sets us apart from every other religion. The Christian faith is unique because its author, founder, perfecter, finisher is one who not only died for his people, but was raised for his people and lives for his people. There is no other religion. There is no other philosophy. There is no other teaching of man that has a founder, author, finisher, and perfecter who died for his people and lives for his people. But the fact is, knowing who to trust can be a really hard thing to determine. In our world, there is a constant clamor for attention. Everyone is saying, "Listen to me, trust my facts." We are constantly reminded, even by watching the news, there are false witnesses who come forward. We have learned that man is not trustworthy. So who can we trust? We need to have proof. Proof that Jesus is who he says he is. So if we want proof concerning the identity of Jesus Christ, here it is. Jesus, when asked, "Give us a sign to prove who you are," this is what he gave: the sign of Jonah. This is how we know that Jesus Christ is the Lord anointed one who saves us fully from our sins. Because if Jesus died and rose again, then he is the promised one who gave his life as a ransom to fully save us from all our sins. Salvation can be found in no one else. So today we see this theme that Jesus Christ gives us the sign of Jonah to prove his identity, to prove that he is the only Savior who delivers us from our sins. We start then in verse 38 with the scribes and Pharisees coming to Jesus, asking them for one more sign. Now, this is significant because up to this point already, what has Jesus done? Well, Jesus has healed the lame and healed the blind. He's fed the thousands. He's preached the gospel to the poor. But that's not enough. The skeptics say, we want further proof. Well, Jesus is not going to bow to their demand. He is not some sideshow miracle worker who does whatever the people tell him to do. Rather, he says, I'm not going to give you any sign except for this, the sign of Jonah. So how is the sign of Jonah related to Jesus Christ? What's the connection between Jonah and Jesus? Well, as many of our children will say, Jonah, the story of Jonah, the narrative of Jonah is a favorite. Almost every child here has at some point in their history drawn a large fish or a whale and imagined what it would have been like for Jonah to get sucked in and swallowed by this great fish and then vomited or spit out on dry land after 3 days. We love that story. Every one of our children have drawn it or thought about it, but there are clear similarities between the work of Jesus Christ and the work of Jonah. The first similarity is that of their calling. The calling of Jonah and the calling of Jesus is this: they were prophets. They were prophets sent by God, commissioned by God, given a word, a message from God. The second similarity is the content of their message. And the message is this: repent, because destruction is at hand. Repent, or you be destroyed in God's wrath. The content of the message that Jonah had or was supposed to bring first and foremost to the residents of Nineveh was repent. And how did John the Baptist and the beginning of Jesus' ministry begin? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The next similarity is the presence of prayer. We read earlier from Jonah chapter 2, and after Jonah has been swallowed by this great fish, Jonah chapter 2, Jonah gives this prayer, a prayer of faith, a prayer of trust, a prayer of dependence. Jonah says, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard and answered me. When we consider the end of Jesus' ministry, what do we find is a consistent throughout the whole of his ministry, but particularly at the end, the consistent emphasis on prayer. Matthew 26, the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, but even on the cross, Jesus cried out to his heavenly Father and ended his life saying, it is finished, and into your hands I commit my spirit. So prayer is a key aspect in both Jonah and Jesus' life. But perhaps the most striking similarity between the two is that both Jesus and Jonah die. Now, to be sure, the death of Jonah is a figurative one. But in the prayer in Jonah 2 verse 5, Jonah describes his situation as being buried, having died and been buried in the depths. The deep has come over me. I am brought down to the pit. The bars have closed over me forever. I've been brought down to the foundation of the mountains. Jonah considered himself to have died and been buried, laid low in a watery grave. And in this being placed in the belly of a great fish and covered with the depths, Jesus builds upon that by saying, I am going to be performing the same miracle that Jonah had, being placed in the belly of the earth for 3 days. Jesus here speaking about his death and burial. Jesus says, I'm going to die and my body is going to be laid in the tomb for 3 days, just like Jonah was laid in a tomb in a watery grave for 3 days. But as striking as it would be for both Jonah and Jesus to die and be laid in the tomb, what is even more striking is that it was a temporary burial. At the end of 3 days, Jonah would come out alive on the other side. And Jesus is here saying, just like Jonah, I will be raised. I will come back to life out of the grave. The bars will not be able to hold me. And it is in his appearance after death that both of these men will perform their most effective work, bearing the most fruit. It was after Jonah had died and been resurrected that the nations hear, repent, and believe. And it is after Jesus Christ died, buried, and was raised from the dead that the nations hear, repent, and believe. The fact that Jonah was spit out was proof to the nations, God's not done with this man yet. The miraculous appearance after death is a sign that God had commissioned them and that their message is to be believed. A divine deliverance from death, giving evidence of a divine commission. So it is for Jesus Christ. After his death and coming back to life, it is convincing proof that he is God's messenger, that he is the anointed one who has a word from the Lord that must be believed. But in pointing to the similarities between Jonah and Jesus, there is also a glaring difference. Because as our passage continues, not only does Jesus say in verse 39 and 40 that he's going to perform the sign of Jonah, but he also says that he is greater, this is the end of verse 41, greater than Jonah. Someone greater than Jonah is here. Well, how is Jesus greater than Jonah? The ministry of Jesus greater than that of Jonah? Well, remember, children, why was Jonah in the belly of the whale? Why was Jonah in the belly of this great fish? What events transpired that brought him to that watery grave? Well, we remember what Jonah did, don't we? Jonah was commanded by the Lord, go and preach, and Jonah said, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm not going to do it. So he tries to run away and hide from the Lord who is everywhere present. He flees from his commission. Instead of going to Nineveh right away, he tries to go to Tarshish. He was motivated by a selfish desire. He did not want the Ninevites to hear, to repent, and to be saved. He was more concerned about himself and his own nation. He had no love for the lost, and he rebelled against the Lord. But what about Jesus Christ? Was Jesus in the grave because of some rebellion? Quite the opposite. Jesus Christ was killed because he was faithful. Because the Lord had said to him, go, and Jesus said, here I am, send me. Jesus was not running away from his commission. It was because he was faithful to his commission, because he refused to run away. That's why he was in the tomb, in the grave. Willingly he came to lay down his life. Instead of being motivated by selfish desires as Jonah was, Jesus was motivated by love, obedience to his Father, and love for his lost sheep. He came in order to save us from our sins. That's the reason he came. And in fact, Jesus' love would be made evident multiple times throughout his ministry. He was weeping over Jerusalem for their rebellion. So deep his love and compassion that he wanted to gather his chicks, his children, as a hen gathers his chicks. There's a striking contrast between these two prophets. One was faithful, the other was rebellious. One loving and eager, the other proud and hesitant. The next major difference between these two prophets is the type of death and resurrection. Although Jonah considered himself to be dead and buried, the fact is he didn't really literally die at this point in his life. However, Jesus really literally physically died. Therefore, his resurrection is not a symbolic resurrection. It is a literal, physical being raised from the dead. At one point in Jesus' life, his body was dead, laid in the grave, sealed with a tomb. And then on the third day, on Resurrection Sunday, he came back to life. For Jonah, his resurrection was one of grace, God's mercy. God forgave Jonah and recommissioned him even after his rebellion. But for Jesus Christ, his resurrection was a vindication, proving that he is righteous and well-pleased by his heavenly Father. Jonah was at the mercy of the Lord, but even Jesus Christ laid down his life. No one took his life from him. He laid down his life and took it up again, as John 10 says. And here we come to the application. How do we know that Jesus is who he says he is? How do we know that this man is the anointed one, the promised one of God from old, the only savior of fallen mankind? Well, I ask you this. Did he die and rise again? His death is a verified fact. Jew and Gentile, male, female, multiple accounts and witnesses, Jesus really died. They saw where his body was laid. He was wrapped up in strips of linen, placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and a stone placed over the hole and sealed by the Roman government and soldiers placed there. His body not only nailed to the tree, but pierced in his side. He really died. And on the third day, we have the surprising accounts of the women who are coming to the grave. They're not coming there to embrace Jesus Christ. They're coming to anoint a dead body. And then you have John and Peter. They're confused. They're not looking for a resurrected Savior. And then we have the convincing proof of hundreds of people who saw him after his death, giving convincing proof, eating, saying to doubting Thomas, "Put your hand here, feel me. I'm alive." His resurrection was foretold of old, Psalm 16. And we were saying that earlier, "You will not let your Holy One see corruption." Jesus repeatedly told his disciples, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die, but on the third day I will rise again." So I ask you again, how do we know that Jesus is the Christ, the only Savior sent from the Father to deliver us from our sins? Well, did Jesus really die? Did he lay down his life as a sacrifice? Did he really come to life again on the third day? If he did, then he is. We have convincing proof that Jesus is the Christ. And at the end of Jonah's ministry, we know how Jonah responds when his preaching bears fruit. Jonah gets angry, doesn't he? He huffs and sulks and pouts. "I can't believe these people believed me. I can't believe my preaching is bearing fruit. I can't believe that the Ninevites would believe in the only one true God. I can't believe God would spare them." So he builds himself a little hut in the city on the side of the hill to watch, hopefully, fire and brimstone come down. He's waiting, but it never comes. How does Jesus respond when his people believe his word? Jesus rejoices. In fact, he will leave the 99 to search for that little lost lamb and bring that one back to his fold. When one sinner repents, how the angels in heaven rejoice. Jesus desires. He wants. And in fact, he equips his people by his Holy Spirit to believe his word. And then he rejoices, singing over them, "I am my beloved, and they are mine." Anyone who calls on his name, he will in no way send. He will no way tell to depart. That's why Jesus is greater than Jonah. Praise God for the perfect prophet who laid down his life as a sacrifice and took it back on the third day. That he died and was buried and rose again for our life, for our justification and our salvation. Look to this one alone. Trust in him alone, because his life has been given as a ransom. There is salvation in no one else. Trust in Jesus, who gave us the sign of Jonah to prove who he was. To conclude, when we compare Jesus and Jonah, we see how great Jesus truly is. In fact, he is the chief prophet in the final revelation from the Lord. Jonah concludes his prayer in Jonah 2 by saying this: salvation belongs to the Lord. Any salvation and forgiveness that Jonah received is built on the work of the perfect Jonah, Jesus Christ. Jonah was motivated by selfish desires. He wanted to keep the message for him and for his family, for the Israelites. He wasn't concerned about the nations. He didn't care about the Ninevites. He wanted them to die. But Jesus cares for the nations. He loves the lost, and he wants all men, all flesh, to acknowledge his kingship because he is Lord. The resurrection is proof. He is the anointed God who saves from sins. So trust in his works, believe his word, and rejoice in his person. Believe in him, and one day you too will share in what Christ here experiences, the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus is greater than Jonah. We thank you for this beautiful, moving picture of Christ's love for his people. That it was by his love and faithfulness and obedience that he laid down his life, was buried, and came to life again. May our hearts be filled with joy. May we trust in Christ alone. And may we also be filled with a desire for others too, to acknowledge Christ is Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.